But there are ways to save money, and as we mentioned last week, when a person has skills along this line, it increases real security and stability in the family. I was at Elsie Uhlenberg's house the other night, and I think this is a tremendous illustration of what I'm talking about. She was going to make a trip, and we were asking her, she's going to make it all by herself since her husband has gone to be with the Lord, and she is going to go see some relatives up in Oregon and down in Southern California. And my wife asked her, do you know how to change a flat tire? And she said, well, I guess I probably could if I had to. And then I asked her if she had towing insurance, road insurance. And I said, you know, for a gal by herself, you know, I said, it's a pretty good investment. And I was explaining to her how it worked, you know, how they would do this. And she said, well, she said, no, we don't have it. She said, we've never needed it. And then her face just glowed. She said, we never had to worry about anything like that with Roy. He could fix anything. And you could see a sense of the fact that all this time there was a sense of a certain amount of security that she had as long as Roy was alive, the fact that he could fix anything. And of course, then later on, she took us around the house and she showed, well, yeah, Roy made this, and, you know, all of this. And not only did it give her a sense of security, but it also brought back some very fond memories. The fact that he was able to fix this and he was able to make that. And if you've been in their mobile home, there's a beautiful clock that's built right into the wall, and Roy made it. From top to bottom, he made it. So there's a real sense in which this gives security to a wife, and I think you need to recognize that if you go along saying, "Oh, I can't fix anything," when maybe you really could, you miss an opportunity to give your wife that sense of security and admiration from your children as well. The children will admire a father who is able to repair things. They'll bring to the father everything from the dolls to the bicycle, and it's amazing how a child will respond when a dad is able to fix things. You remember the film that we saw at the men's retreat about that Howie Hendricks made concerning fixing his boy's bicycle tire, and I think that we should keep in mind that sometimes bicycle tires are a vitally important thing to a youngster, a lot more important to them than they are to us. And we need to be aware of things that need to be fixed, even though it'll take a little of our time. Then it also demonstrates real love to the wife. There's a sense of love and that it can be demonstrated, demonstrative love. And when you are concerned about things that she is concerned about fixing things for her, concerned about keeping things the way they ought to be, there's a real sense in which you demonstrate your love to your wife. And then another reason why you should develop home maintenance skills is because in many cases it's good exercise. And now, this isn't true in everything, but some of us can use a little more exercise now and then, and it's good exercise if we will use it. And perhaps one of the greatest reasons is because it gives us an opportunity to instruct and include our children. Don't ever be so busy at some little job that you push Junior aside and say, Daddy's busy now. Teach him. Use this as an opportunity to teach him. And develop in the child a real knowledge of some of these things, and it will be a tremendous help to you. Now, I love my dad dearly, and we had some tremendous times together. But as most of you know, my dad was in evangelistic work for 15 years, and he was away from home 90% of the time. When Dad was home, he made the time count. But interestingly enough, we couldn't learn from Dad some of these things, but the Lord provided for us, because the Lord provided us with fine grandparents who are able to teach us some of these little things. We perhaps never learned as many of the home maintenance skills as we might, but we learned a lot about a lot of things from our grandparents. And I think a lot of the vacuum and void that had been caused because of Dad's having to be away, and we didn't resent it a bit because we were part of the team and we realized that this was something that the Lord had called him to and called us to, and we really were not afraid of that. But when the Lord saw that there was a need there, the Lord provided our grandmother to, on my mom's side, to live with us in the home. And she taught us all kinds of things. And as a result, both my sisters learned some things from her that they never would have learned from my mother, such as crocheting and knitting and things like that. My mother wasn't too interested in those things. And then Grandma taught us some things as well. And then our grandfather, my dad's side, was very close to us as well. And we, in fact, Grandpa was a farmer in Montana. And he tried to make farmers out of each of us boys. His saddest moment was when he died, and he still was shaking his head saying, all those grandsons and not one of them's a farmer, you know. we each spent a summer working for him, and I'm afraid that we weren't too impressed with the farm life, but at least we had that opportunity to learn from Grandpa. And this really was wonderful. You think of the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ working with his Father on the job, working with his Father at the carpenter shop, and growing in maturity as a man. And it was something that must have been a beautiful sight to see. Jim? Right. Very important.
I was just going to elaborate on that a little bit. I have a brother-in-law who's 25 or 30 or something like that, who has had that kind of upbringing, and the guy has no confidence. And, you know, he took it upon himself to move away from his family. He went to Washington, in fact, and built a house. And he did a fantastic job all on his own, without his dad alongside.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, prior to that, he just had zero confidence. But he had a desire to work with him.
Right. Now, the more skillful the dad, the more danger there is of this. You know, if you really know what you're doing, it's sometimes us guys that just flub along, you know, we'll include our boy. Maybe he knows more about it than we do. But if you're really sharp at it, you have to be very careful lest you put him down. Yeah, ma'am.
Well, I've had a burden for a while in this respect, and I've been very busy with the company. And I do like to do quite a bit of handicraft and work around the house, and over the years I've developed quite a technique for it. But in the last, since I married Vivian, I haven't had the chance. So my son-in-law is very good at it. So naturally I get thrown from me the fact that he's very good at handicraft in the house. So lately, since everything, of course, I've been spending more time doing the things which he supposed to do around the house. Well, there's been a total change. Her attitude towards me as far as I think about. I mean, you spoke about the wife having the security. And I know there's a lot of pride in what I'm saying, you know, that will show that we're prideful. But it does work. And you start taking the account of what your wife needs to have fixed immediately, not waiting 10 days or 2 weeks or 3 months, but do it immediately. There's a total different feeling that she'll get towards.
Right. Okay, now these things are tremendous, and I think that sometimes we forget that the Lord wants us to have a balanced situation as far as some of these things are concerned. And we just need to get into this and really allow the Lord to do a thing in our heart in regard to this. Now, another thing is that, let's say we're short of money. I don't believe anything happens without a reason. And I believe there are very definite reasons why some people don't have money. And so let's just say here, determine God's reason. Or lack of funds. Now there are four very basic things. First, call that A if you want. Do I need it?
Don't get nosy.
Ask yourself that question. Do I really need it? And I again contend that many times God does not give us the money for an item because He knows it'll be harmful to us. And He withholds the funds in order to keep us from harming ourselves because He loves us. Now, realize this, that the Lord will supply your every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But He never did say that He would give you everything you want. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But you see, delighting comes first, and then come the desires. And the desires change when you delight. And so you need to realize that there will be times where the Lord withholds funds from you to get you to take a long, hard look as to whether that thing is really necessary. And I believe that you need to be prayerful and careful when you're considering. I think you need to be prayerful and careful about anything you buy. And I think it's a shame when we rush into things because it's easy. But remember that the Lord wants sometimes to teach you whether or not this thing is expedient for His honor and for His glory and for your benefit. You need to realize that the Lord will put you to the test at times like this to see if your values are in material things or if you, on the other hand, are just willing to let the Lord meet your need as He sees it. And then there also is this question. Is He testing my faith? The bills are past due. That's not the purpose. If your bills are past due, that is not the reason. But if it's something that is being you're considering buying, perhaps, and you feel as though it's something that's needed and necessary, remember that the Lord sometimes will withhold the funds to see if you're willing to trust Him or if you're going to rush out and figure out another way to get it without God. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. God is really much more interested in making you a mature man than He is in providing that particular thing at that moment. He's much more interested in putting the test to see what quality it is. That's the word that's used there in James 1. Putting to the test for the purpose of finding what quality the thing is. And he wants to know what quality of faith you possess. And so he will sometimes withhold to see if you really trust him. And then in the nick of time, he'll meet that need if you really need it. And the midnight hour concept is something that is interesting. You know, I think that in this day and age, we need to realize that the Lord does not always provide money, large sums of money, in advance of our actual need. And this is something that impresses itself upon my heart time and time and time again. As we see even the needs in the fellowship of the church. Most of you fellows here at Valley recognize that at the end of the year we have balloon payments. Payments that come due in the month of December, and they're quite a sizable payment on property. And come December, that money hopefully is going to be laid aside. This is the concept. And yet traditionally, we always run behind, even though we plan. And I think it's wise to plan. According to our budget, we lay aside a certain amount every month in order to meet those balloon payments. And when they hit us, then we hopefully would have the money laid aside. But every year, about this time of the year, we're in the hole. And consistently we are. And the reason, I believe, is sometimes it's not the Lord's purpose to meet December's need in March. See? And we need to be prayerful concerning this. But we need, at the same time, to realize that the Lord can meet December's need in December, if need be. He may, to show us what He can do, He may provide the whole thing in December. And this may be the answer. But the Lord can do it. So plan for the future, but at the same time, if the Lord doesn't meet the need that way, don't get uptight about it. Yeah, Jim? That's right.
It's real hard to tell just go around buying what you just got to have.
Okay, now we've already covered that, as you know. If you'll evaluate every expenditure in the light of how's it going to affect God's reputation, now that's the thing that will zero in on that problem.
Well, I mean, like, for instance, this weekend I want to take my boy to the races. I don't know how that's going to...
Oh, man. Can I tell you how? Can I tell you how? Do I have to tell you how? Anybody else got any ideas? That's one of the wisest investments you can possibly make in your son, because you are doing something with him together. Now, you say, what do the races have to do with it? Well, I'll tell you something. You watch for opportunities to teach your son. Watch for opportunities to teach him. Opportunities to contrast, for instance, the crowd at the races. With the crowd that you associate with in the church. There's an opportunity. My boy took me aside last night and said, Dad, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He said, the kids at school swear. Man, he said, they just do it all the time and it hurts me. And we had a little father and son talk. And one of the things that I told him was, wherever you go, son, in this world, you're going to find people like that. You can't run away from it. You can't hide from it. You're constantly going to have people throwing swear words at you. And it's going to hurt because you love the Lord Jesus. And you don't like to see the name of the Lord Jesus taken in vain. And so there's an opportunity. The guy behind you swearing. Great. Terrific opportunity to teach your boy how to resist the problems in this realm. I could just go on and on and on and name things that are involved. The very fact, Jim, that you're spending time with him is probably worth 10 times what the tickets are going to cost you. See, that's the important thing. So all you have to do is evaluate it that way, and you realize that that here's an opportunity for the two of you to get aside. Now, my boy is a nut on roller derby. And we decided the other, on Monday night, we decided that we were going to go down and see the roller derby. And it was advertised in the paper. The tickets were $2, $3.50, and $4.50. And we went there and found out there weren't any $2 tickets left. I have an idea there weren't very many in the first place. But we decided that was too much money. That $7 for that was too much for me anyway. But he decided himself. He and I decided together that we weren't going to spend that kind of money. $2 a piece, that wasn't bad. But $3.50 a piece, that was a lot of money. And he decided that maybe the Lord didn't want us to go there for some reason. And he decided that maybe the Lord wanted us to go play miniature golf instead. And so we did. Now this is just one of those things that the Lord will give you wisdom about. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth generously to all men without upbraiding. And I believe that you need to realize that the Lord will give you real wisdom in regard to this. So, do I need it? Is he testing my faith? And then here's the corker. Did I misspend? Did I misspend? I think that Christian organizations and individuals have to be extremely careful. We need to be careful where we spend our money. And one thing that we must not tolerate is wasting those things that God has given us. We have to be extremely careful. You know why? You know why we shouldn't waste things? Not only because it's wrong in the first place, but also because it's a tremendously poor influence on our children. I believe, to be honest with you, that one of the greatest influences, this is merely a personal opinion, but I believe that one of the greatest influences upon the hippie movement, the thing part of the thing that triggered it at the very offset, was because parents in the last generation have been wasteful. And young people have seen surplus things thrown away. And they've as a result, had a careless attitude toward things. Some of these kids have lost all sense of value, period. And they don't even value their own lives. They'll throw them away. They'll take drugs and blow their mind and commit moral suicide with no thought, just a careless attitude, and they throw their bodies away, and they throw their lives away. And a lot of the reason is because their parents were so careless with things that they had, because they had so much. They had so much, and they still have so much. And we have, even in an age, because of credit, we have been able to perpetuate this even in hard times. Even though money is not nearly as available as it always has been, but we still have credit. And we can still have more than we need. And we can still have the surplus to throw away. And as a result, young people have come up with a whole new value system. And we just can't seem to understand it. And part of the reason is because of the materialistic age in which we live. And I believe we need to be careful how we spend our money. We need to be prayerful about it. Now, I'm not telling you that you ought to put all your money in the ground and hide it, you know, because the Bible forbids that too. There is a sense in which you need to carefully invest your dollars. You need to invest it as far as getting return from the standpoint of saving. You have to plan for the future from this standpoint. Again, I contend that the Lord wants us to plan for our future. But at the same time, the Lord may not give us a secure future now. In other words, we may be laying money aside, thinking in terms of our retirement and our old age. And the Lord may allow that to rot. because maybe in some cases he wants us to trust him, even in those waning years. But he expects us to go ahead and invest that money. Remember with that man that hid the talent in the earth? The Lord said concerning that man, it would have been far better if you'd invested it and lost it than to just hide it and have no return. See? And so you need to invest your money. But you see, investing your money not only includes savings, but includes going to see the car races with your boy. See? It includes vacations with your family, meaningful vacations. Using your money not to just on a big splurge. Boy, we're going to have a vacation this year and it's a big splurge. But planning day by day how this is going to be a meaningful spiritual experience for your family. Planning. I got a Moody Monthly. If you can get a hold of a Moody Monthly, we really ought to have those available at the church. Last issue of Moody Monthly had some fantastic things for Christian parents in regard to how to use your vacations. It's got in it a listing according to geographical locations of places you might consider visiting that would be a spiritual experience. For instance, in Southern California, they listed the Church of the Open Door. And they listed the Forest Lawn Cemeteries with the scene of the crucifixion. Have you ever seen that when you've been down there? Everybody goes down there and sees Disneyland. As far as I'm concerned, you know, this is as good if not better than Disneyland from the standpoint of teaching, a teaching experience for your children. They've got a huge mural of the crucifixion scene, and they've also got a thing of the Lord's Supper at Forest Lawn Cemeteries in Los Angeles. Great thing to see and a great opportunity. My boy, when he saw that a few years ago, wanted to go back again and again and again and again. You know, finally, you know, you just can't take it all in at one time. And he wanted to go back and stand in line and go through the thing again. He enjoyed it so much. If we get back down there, that we're going to see that again, because now he's at a different age and he can appreciate it in a different way. So they listed things like this. In this area, they listed Mount Hermon, and up in Seattle area they listed the Firs, and they list some of the great churches across the country. Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, and churches like this, First Baptist Church in Dallas, and they list them so that wherever you go you can consider some of these things as far as some of your vacation is concerned. This is a way to invest your money and still have a good time of R&R. See? Tremendous. So, you want to use your money properly, but do not misspend. And be very, very careful in this regard. And then, number four. Have I violated? Scriptural principles. All right, let's look at some. These are some things we haven't touched on that are very, very important. Stinginess. Stinginess. Proverbs 11:24. Malachi 3:11. Let's look at it. Proverbs 11. In verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, that doesn't mean theologically, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, the tendency to throw their money away on this sort of thing, even when they don't have it. One of the things that impressed me about the city of Las Vegas one day when we had to spend a night there and we walked through the casino area was the tremendous amount of obviously poor people who were, you know, panhandling on the street to pick up a quarter to get them started on a slot machine again. And they would just one right after another, and you'd watch these people. Some of them, you obviously were wealthy people, obviously had money. Some of them were obviously poor. And there was a great number of those poor people, even in a place like Las Vegas where stakes are high. And so we need to realize that when we do not, there is no such thing as a surefire get rich quick scheme. There are ways, sometimes, where the Lord will bless. And you will get rich quick. But you have to be very careful then to reinvest that money properly and obey financial principles. And then stubbornness. Stubbornness. There's not two N's in there, is there? Proverbs 13:18. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The man who refuses to take the instruction, particularly the instruction of God's word, that man will find that there will be poverty that will come upon him and shame. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The Lord tries and tries and tries to teach us things. And as he tries to teach us things, if we don't hear his instruction and heed it and listen to his word, then we're going to have to learn the hard way. And sometimes the hard way is simply for the Lord to remove from us those things that have meant so much to us. Another thing. Laziness. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Proverbs 6, and verse 11. Proverbs 20, and verse 13. Here's the one for Wednesday morning. Love not sleep. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now this is speaking concerning laziness. When an individual is lazy, sometimes this is the reason. 6:11. Proverbs 6:11. Here's this passage where it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, beginning in verse 6. And then it gives the conclusion in verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There will be poverty that will come as a result of laziness. By the way, there's an interesting little story told about a man who came as a missionary candidate. The fellow came with the object in mind of going to this mission, and they sent him to a local pastor who was on the board of the mission for an interview. And when he called for an appointment, the pastor said, certainly, I'd love to talk with you. I'll meet you at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the fellow gulped and said, yes, sir. And so 5 o'clock the next morning, he was there. And the pastor didn't show up until 9 o'clock. And he waited, you see, those 4 hours. And the fellow came in, and the pastor looked at him and said, how tall are you? The fellow told him. He said, what's 2 and 2? 4. And what's your wife's middle name? And he gave it to him. And then he asked him a few other just ridiculously simple questions. He said, thank you, that's all I need. Goodbye. And the fellow walked out the door. And he thought, good night, what an interview. I never had anything like it. The pastor sat down and wrote out the recommendation. He said, I tested his industry. I asked him to be here at 5 o'clock, and he was here. And I tested his patience. I asked him to be here at 5 o'clock, and I didn't show up until 9. And I tested his tolerance by asking him questions that were absolutely ridiculous and beneath his intelligence. He showed a very good attitude. I recommend this man. Well, I wonder sometimes if some things like this wouldn't be a better test as to whether somebody really would be a missionary, or whether you know, some of the lengthy questioning really is the important thing. But I think that we need to realize that one of the biggest problems that we have in our society today is laziness. Now, you fellows most are from a generation where there's a certain amount of industry sort of ingrained in you, and yet there's an increasing tendency to laziness today. Everybody wants a shorter week. Everybody wants more money for less work, and nobody wants to do the hard jobs. Nobody wants to do the jobs that require the muscle. They want to do jobs that require thinking, you see. They think that's going to be the easy way out. And one of these days when we have time, we'll trace the development of the slothful man in the book of Proverbs with you. Because I believe this is something that's vital to teach to your sons. They need to learn in this day and age where people are lazy. They need to learn that even though right now with welfare and all the rest, that you can afford to be lazy. And some people actually, when they figure the amount they can make, they can actually make more on welfare. Why shouldn't they be on welfare? This is tragic. We've cut off the incentive to work with a lot of people because of the whole concept of welfare. I think that there's a place for taking care of those that are needy. I believe this is scriptural, but I don't believe that the kind of thing we're doing today is necessarily the right thing, because it's tending to laziness. Scripture says that if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And we ought to have people work. All right? And then, this one. We'll just get through this in a hurry. Gluttony. Yeah, did I number those or did I eat? No, it's E. I've been listing them down. Gluttony or drunkenness. Gluttony or drunkenness. Proverbs 23:21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So gluttony or drunkenness. Scripture has a lot to say about these two things elsewhere in Scripture as well. But this is one of the key verses in regard to the matter of its relationship with poverty. Want to hear something interesting? There's a man who had been eminently successful in investments. He had made himself a few dollars, and he had found companies and invested in the companies, and it seemed as though it was a random investment. People couldn't understand. He'd invest in electronics at just the right time, and he'd get out of electronics just at the right time, and he would go to some other field, and he kept investing his money, and he'd build up a whole lot of companies, and it really became a big broker. And this fellow was interviewed, and he was asked the question, "What do you feel is the most significant secret to your success?" He said, "What I'm going to say may sound silly to you, but," he said, "I never invest in a company where any of the executives in that company are overweight." Now you think that through a minute. Just think that through. And as a result, the man became wealthy. But one of his guidelines was to not invest in a company where a man was overweight. And, you know, it sounds perfectly ridiculous until you begin to think through that men that are disciplined in one area tend to be disciplined in other areas as well. And men that are not disciplined in certain areas are those that are unable to discipline themselves in the areas that are important. I I let Dr. Condi leave before I said that, because Dr. Condi says I have to lose a few pounds. And I'm in the process. Interestingly enough, you know, we had an annual directory like we have here at Valley, made up in Lacey a number of years ago, and I was up. I'd been busy, and I'd hardly thought about weight. I hadn't been getting any exercise, and I was up to 235 pounds. And I looked at that picture. That's what did it. And I saw that crazy picture, and I, good night. You know, I didn't realize. I thought, man, that's a poor testimony for me to look like that. And in 2 months, I knocked off 35 pounds just by not eating, just by being very, very careful. I was eating, I was operating on less than 1,000 calories a day. I suppose some doctor will tell me that's not good for you. But nevertheless, I did knock that weight off. And anybody can do it if they'll discipline themselves. And I think that it's a sad commentary in our society that we have so much overweight. And so this is something that the scripture talks about. That may be a reason sometimes why we're not as sharp as we ought to be, and not able to turn a dollar like we should be able to. Yeah.
Can I interject a little story here?
Sure.
I had a friend who had a little girl who was about 5 years old. She was a real, real cute little girl. And he was the minister in this small town, and the mother had her on a diet because she was overweight. And she watched her real carefully in the morning while she'd go out of the house to play, and in the afternoon she'd come back, and the mother checked her weight. And she kept gaining weight. She couldn't figure it out. And she one day said to a neighbor, she said, I don't know what to do with my little girl. We've got her on a strict diet. She only eats so much for breakfast. She eats only so much for lunch and dinner. And yet she continues to gain weight. There must be something wrong. And the neighbor thought, she said, well, do you know what she does in the morning? She said, no. Well, do you know what she does in the afternoon? She said, no. She's just outside playing, isn't she? Well, no, she goes around to the different neighbors' coffee clutching, and she's having cookies and donuts with one neighbor in the morning, and in the afternoon she's having cookies and donuts with another neighbor.
Oh, brother. Well, isn't that... Well, that's good.
We're not doing our minister any favor when we're inviting him over for dessert.
That's right. I was afraid you were going to apply that. Eat me solid, folks. Okay. Now, here's the last one of this part. Craftiness. Proverbs 28:19-20. Proverbs 28:19-20. He that tilleth his bread, land, shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Now what it's talking about here is the man who entertains the wealthy people, or people that he thinks are going to profit him financially, in order to get some of their wealth. Someone who caters to a vain person because he thinks he's going to do him some good. That individual is the person who's going to have poverty enough. And he's contrasted in the next verse with the faithful man who will abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent, with the direct relationship that the way that he's trying to get rich is by his catering to vain persons. You see, that's the application of it here. And so you, a person think, you know, he's really got the angles figured out. Now the guy that's got all the angles figured out sometimes isn't very square. And you have to realize that there are those that will be crafty, and maybe you're one of those. And you figure it this way, and you figure it that way, and you're trying to figure out a way to get by, and yet at the same time, Scripture is clear that that's not what you ought to do. Really, we shouldn't be looking to vain persons for our wealth. We should be looking to the Lord. And the Lord has a tremendous communication from the Lord to the person, from the person giving to the Lord back to you. See? But if you're going direct without God interceding, then you as a result are going to find yourself poor. Well, we'll get into the next thought in about 7 days. Okay? Okay, let's turn the book of Proverbs this morning to, what are we? Is it third today? Yeah. It's the second yesterday. I guess it should be the third today. Those of you that are perhaps new with us this morning, the reason everybody walks out is not because they're mad, but they go to work whenever they have to, and we hang around here until 10 after if we can, but we also forgive those that walk out on us. Okay, let's start right over here, could we? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments.
For the length of days and the long life and peace shall I add to thee.
Let the mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones.
Honor the Lord with your wealth as the first charge in all your earnings.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
My son, despise not the chastisement of the Lord, neither the word of his correction. Bringing the words of it, correct him. And the Father, the Son, and the God.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding.
For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold.
He is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her.
Length of days is in the right hand, and in the left hand riches are not out.
Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
She is a tree of life for those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast.
The Lord, by listening, hath pondered the earth, and understanding hath been established.
By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies dripped with dew.
My son, let not them depart from thine eye. Keep sound wisdom and discretion.
So shall they be life unto thy soul, and raise unto thy neck.
They keep you safe from defeat and disaster, and from stumbling off the trail.
If you sit down, you will not be afraid. If you lie down, you sleep if you sleep.
Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot in his cross.
Only the fool became out of his dead. Let's say some other kind of thing out.
Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it to you, that is legal.
Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Go back here at the front again. Verse 30.
Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm.
Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his blade.
For the perverse is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous.
The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous.
Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly.
The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor.
Great. Let's spend the next few moments in prayer together and just pray for God's best upon this day, upon the fellows that had to leave us early, and as well as upon your own day. And let's pray that the Lord will continue to ingrain in our hearts these principles and cause us to meditate upon them throughout these days. A number of you just lead out as the Lord lays it on your heart.
Thank you for the ministries that you've given to each of us. And thank you for the message of your word to our hearts and to those about us. Father, we'd ask that you would be with the men that are going to be working here at Valley in the internship program this summer. Father, give them a real vision of how they can communicate effectively to those in this area that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that it opens up and shows me areas in my life that need to be cleaned.
Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that as we meditate on it, you give us greater insight. As we concentrate upon those things that you would teach us from it, that our lives are enriched. We thank you for this group of men, for their sincerity, for their hunger, for their desire. Lord, as they go to work today, they'll be rubbing shoulders with people who have little or no values, people who do not know much about eternal things. We pray that the lives of these men will be so significant that there will be those that will be asking concerning the hope that is in them. And then may they give answer. We trust, Heavenly Father, that your hand of blessing might be upon every area of ministry that we will have as individuals or collectively in days to come. We'll give you the praise and glory, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, man.